Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Guess what, folks? Team USA is playing, it turns out, and we're back. And
trade and signing rumors
are still flying, and guys are still signing huge extensions well into August, and we're discussing all of that and more with New York Times writer and author Sopan Deb on today's show. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties.
A three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry from downtown again.
Giannis with the take. Look out. No showtime. What you got, Giannis?
Yes, it is us. We are back.
Back again.
Couple weeks off. Didn't sound like it to you guys. You fools at home didn't realize that we took a week off.
That those were episodes that were recorded earlier. But anyway.
We recorded the Steph Curry one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Before the... We were just guessing at what was going to be in the documentary.
Once we heard there was a development deal, we're like, all right, let's just do an episode on what that's going to look like.
Let's just
and we're like,
that out
people
real
really counted him out, huh? They really did.
Oh, boy.
Egg on their face. But we are thrilled to be joined today by our guests, Sopan Deb. Welcome, Sopan.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
It's not awful.
Great intro. You guys, like, brought a lot of energy. I got to feel like I feel like I have to, like, raise my...
No, please.
Right now.
We rest on the court
like LeBron. So like we're barely alive until the mic starts recording, and
exactly.
Then we have to like take it up. So it's very noticeable.
There's a Key and Peele sketch where I think they're parodying the Breakfast Club, and, the red light goes on. They're going crazy, and then the commercial break hits. And they like take out like, you know, they totally go silent and they're like,
right, exactly.
It's a very, very funny sketch.
That is dead on.
I mean, look, you're a multiple time author and playwright on top of being a basketball fan. How do you do it all, Sopan?
You know, I actually get that question quite a bit. And
okay, never mind then. Never mind. I only want to ask great questions.
It's not that. No.
Sopan. How goes it?
It's interesting. You know, I think about this. You know, I used to be a producer for a show that nobody watched called Rock Center with Brian Williams. And he had Steve Martin on as a guest. And Steve Martin, amazing, obviously, comedian, all that stuff. But he's also an amazing banjo player.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And I remember Brian asking him, so how do you do both? He's like, well, people do more than one thing, you know, like. And,
wow.
And so it's like asking me like, hey, how do you go to the gym? you know, or how do you, if you play pickup basketball, how do you play pickup basketball?
You go to the gym too?
No, like, and you're right,
like, guy
outside of work, right? And
this guy's
so
like LeBron James.
For me, it's just a question of doing, like, I don't view, you know, in when I've been writing my books or writing, you know, creative writing, I've never viewed it as work. It's just another thing that I do. In the same way that, like, I used to, you know, during the pandemic, play poker on Zoom with my friends. You know, it's like, it's just another thing that I do. I don't view it as work, if that makes sense.
Right. No, of course.
If you do view it as work, you will hate it. You know, that's when the workday goes from, you know, an 8-hour workday to like a 24-hour workday. That's when it starts being overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Did you have parents that were like, hey, do what you love and then you'll never work a day in your life? Or were they?
No, not at all.
A little more rigid.
Better get that check.
It was
get the degree.
My parents, even to this day, don't really understand what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a pejorative way. You know, when I got to the Times, I think it was the first time they kind of understood what I did for a living. No, I'm serious. And they're like, oh, New York Times, yes.
Oh, I heard of that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Before, not so sure.
Right,
what is journalism?
Right. But the others, it took a long time though.
Yeah. And basketball wise, you said you were born outside of Boston, but raised Jersey, but you are a C's fan. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up a huge Celtics fan. My brother is 10 years older than me. He got me onto basketball. And so there are two reasons I became a Celtics fan. One was my brother. And the second was Antoine Walker was a rookie.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I
employee
really,
number eight.
Yeah. I was really fascinated by Antoine. And so like, no one can say I'm a bandwagon Celtics fan or anything, because like when I started following the Celtics, they were awful, but I loved watching Antoine play. I mean,
ML Carr into the Patino era, into the O'Brien era. Yeah.
Like it was like Dino Raja, I think was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they drafted Antoine, and Walker was just my guy. He was, you know, he could dunk, he could shoot occasionally. He could
he would shoot. That's for
he
sure.
Would shoot a lot. He wouldn't make them all that often, but he loved shooting it. And I just loved the flair. And then, you know, people, you know, like my favorite Celtics team of all time is not the one that won a title in 2008. It was the 2002 team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because that was when I was a teenager and sports mean the world to you at that point.
Yeah.
And for me, that was, I cried when they lost. I think it was game 6 against the Nets. I cried.
Me too.
That's what sports means to you at that time.
Yeah.
And, but they were not expected to go to the playoffs, let alone get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know? And that was my childhood. And so,
my dad is Jim O'Brien. So he coached.
Oh
that
my gosh.
Team.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
oh my gosh. Okay. I swear that is not that.
I know. We didn't know that ahead of this conversation, but
that team. What I remember is, you know, Patino, you know, kind of brings in like one of the worst eras of Celtics basketball. I remember Jim O'Brien. I mean, that was one of the first teams that shot a bunch of threes and like their whole. And it was, you know, at the time they got so much criticism for that. But for me as a viewer, it was an amazing, you know, form of basketball. I loved it. It was my favorite team of all time. And, I was sad when Jim and Danny Ainge didn't work things out. So
And then that's why I don't really love the Celtics as much
fair
anymore.
Enough, man. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I wish I had gotten over it, because now I am a Sixers fan, because that was the last team he coached for. And
right, did he leave Philly on bad terms? If you don't mind me asking,
did he leave Philly on bad terms?
No, right? Yeah.
No. He was with he was an assistant with Brett Brown.
I feel like he beefed with like Chris Webber or something. There was something.
Oh yeah. So the first year when he was a head coach, that didn't go that well. But then he came back and was an assistant in the Embiid era. And that was when I fell in love with Joel.
Fair enough.
With the process and with this team.
Was Frank an assistant too then?
Frank was an assistant with the Celtics.
With that team, right?
Yeah. He was down the bench a ways. But he was the tape guy. He was the video guy who, like, you had to learn editing software. And after every game, you know, Frank, and this was my dad before Frank, would be up after the game editing together every play from that game and putting together different looks of, all right, like here's every time they ran this offense to the left of the court. Here's every time they ran this offense to the right of the court. Here's every time like we did, you know, various permutations. And I really think that was also Spoelstra's job with the Heat coming up. I really think that like that number of reps of just like seeing basketball that often, like Frank Vogel knows exactly what you're going to run the second the ball crosses half court, because he's just like seen so many, he's seen more plays of basketball than anyone, I guess, his age. Like now, probably the younger people have been on YouTube the whole time. But I really think like being early in the tape game helped Vogel and helped my dad and Spoelstra a lot, because they just got more cuts than anyone.
Jack, I'll tell you a story from last season. I was at a Wizards game, and I was writing about something. I don't remember what I was writing about. Maybe I think I might have been doing a feature on, I don't remember what, anyway. And I'm sitting on Media Row, and I'm not, obviously not much of a fan anymore, but I'm sitting next to Tony Delk.
Yeah.
And I sat next to Tony Delk, and I don't think a lot of people at this point, Tony Delk at this point in his life is not like the most recognizable guy ever. But for someone like me, who that 2002 team was such a big part of my childhood, you know, I'm sitting next to him, like, you know, hey, I'm Sopan, and hey, I'm Tony.
And you're Tony Delk.
Yeah, literally, I was like, yes, I was like, hey, listen, I don't want to make things weird, but like, I just want to let you know that 2002 team was like one of my, you know, one of the highlights of my childhood. It was cool. And we just chopped it up for a little bit. And it was so cool to, you know, he was, he's still in touch with some of the guys, and, you know, and it was cool to, you know, be able to tell him that, you know?
Yeah.
I genuinely do not care about celebrity stuff. I don't really like ever really fanboy. It's not something that I'm interested in doing.
Tony
it was cool
Delk,
to be
baby.
Able to tell someone, like, you know what, when I was a boy, like, when I was, you know, when this shit still was like the world to me, it was like, you know, you hitting threes on kickouts from Antoine Walker was like pretty cool for me, you know.
One of the strangest, he had, I don't think I've seen this since, and it probably happened before, but his shot had pure side spin on it. Do you remember that? Tony Delk's shot had pure, it was side spin. It might have changed by the time he was in the NBA, but so my dad was an assistant under Pitino at UK when they won the title there, and Delk was their leading scorer. And at that time, his shot just pure side spin, and was one of the great, you know, scorers and shooters in the
country.
I
remember he was in the top five, like, most random 50 point games, along with Corey Brewer, and, like, you know,
yeah,
he very dropped random 53. 50 point, yeah, very random. I think in a loss too, by the way.
Yeah, but, unfortunately.
Anyway, I didn't wake up today expecting to spend like 10 minutes on the 2002 Boston Celtics, but you guys really indulged me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great because it just happens to be our next segment is about Vitaly Potapenko.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes.
Let's check in with the Ukraine report real quick.
Yeah. But that was wild because I was studying abroad that year, that semester, and I came back for game one of the net series. I think it was game one, and they lost, and then came back. Like, basically, I saw every loss in the net series and missed the two wins.
Got it. You were the bad luck charm.
I was the curse.
You ruined my childhood.
Yes, that's on
me. But you be careful. He does take those. He does take that on a lot.
Oh yeah, a lot of magical thinking.
He's responsible for that. He's responsible for every, I think, second round exit of the Sixers too.
Actually, not because the hat that was supposedly in my brain causing the losses. Actually, I stopped wearing it last season, and they still lost. To the Celtics.
Hey, dust that old thing off, maybe? Bring it back around for the season. See what happens. Yeah. Just some news notes from around the league. I don't know. Do we mention Jaylen Brown signing that 5-year, $304 million extension?
Since our last record.
That was last week. So, yes, this is going to be one of the largest contracts in league history. But for not now. To be outdone by the Lakers' very own Anthony Davis, who agreed to the richest annual average in league history with the 3-year, $186 million extension with the Lakers. So that's money is, I don't even know what these numbers mean, but they sound really cool. Yeah. That many millions. It's like 60 million club, huh? Oh, wait. Yeah. How does that? Wow. Okay.
Neat.
Good. Good. Yeah.
I didn't even know Team USA was playing. That was kind of news to me. That
yeah.
Team USA had a game against Puerto Rico, but I'm very intrigued by this it's, I don't think you can call it a dream team. It feels like very reasonable.
It's like reasonable, the pragmatic team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, it's still the like on paper, team. You're like, this is yeah. doing, like, they're doing business. They're doing work with this roster, but it's not dream level. It's not, doesn't have that yeah. ethereal quality to it.
Like really good day team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. Like the squad is, I want to ask you guys, how many NBA games do you think this team would win? Mm-hmm. I think they'd be favored to win the East, probably, and maybe even the West. But so they're Paolo.
You think Mikal they win Bridges. The East with Jalen Brunson as their top guy?
They got Paolo, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, Hart, Ingram, Jaren Jackson Jr., Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, Bobby Portis, Austin Reeves. It's just interesting that Walker Kessler is on the USA basketball
team.
Like nothing, pragmatic. Not taking anything away, but it's just like it feels like we've entered a new era.
Yes, truly, truly. I don't know. I think they would easily win. In my mind, I just like watching them play. I was like, they look really good. Obviously playing Puerto Rico in like an exhibition match, but you know, I think they can get, I feel like they can get to 60.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say high 50s, low 60s.
That's a 60-win team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Halliburton is
the truth. Yeah.
Is the gem there.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess let's take this time, because yeah, since we got, you know, we're in that sort of in-between period, still looking, waiting to see what trades happen. Figure if Dame or James Harden ends up moving, we shall see. But also, time to kind of take a look at the, you know, the different divisions, and just from the knowledge that we have at the moment, maybe just do a little bit of over under predictions here.
We got Vegas like win total over unders, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Right now, let's kick it off.
Well, let's take a quick break.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
We'll come back and we'll do some over unders.
Let's do it.
Did you ever play the over under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. And FanDuel has told us how many wins they think everyone's getting. And I don't know. They're being very conservative.
Very conservative.
Up top here.
Yeah. So we're starting in the Atlantic Division this episode, and I think we'll do, you know, go division by division per episode. But since we have a Celtics fan in the building, it's good to look at the Atlantic Division. Projected, they're saying the Celtics are going to win their 54.5 wins per their odds.
Last year, they went 57-25. It feels light to me. I still feel like they should be the favorite to be as good as they were last year. But I know the Marcus Smart thing has Celtics fans nervous. So, Pan, how are you feeling about 54.5 wins?
I mean, I wouldn't go over that for sure.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that they won't go deep in the playoffs. I just think that, you know, you're incorporating a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, who is he's an unusual player to play with, right?
Yeah.
And he's a very different type of player with an injury history.
Right.
And it's not that they lost Marcus Smart. They also lost Grant Williams, who, look, he had a lot of stress of DNPs and whatnot, but he was still a significant part of the roster. And they haven't really, Derek White's going to start a point guard for the first time. I think it's going to take a while for them to get it together. So I could see them having some regular season lulls. And they've been a team of regular season lulls over the last several years.
And so, just to be clear, you're saying LOLs?
Lulls. No, L-U-L-L-L.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were saying that. Because they did have some lulls, like when Grant Williams wore dressed as Batman that one time.
So that doesn't mean I don't think they'll get their, get it together for the playoffs, but I could see the regular season being a little bit more, more of a drag for them than, expected.
Yeah. I think they'd be right around 54, but just, I don't know. I don't think I could say over that, but I don't think much far off from that.
Yeah. Either. You were saying you're predicting 54 and a third wins for them this season.
Exactly.
That's where you think they're going to land.
I first said 33 1/3 because I just saw the Naked Gun movie, and then you're like, "What? That's not how it works." And I'm like, "All right, fine, 54 1/3."
Fine. So the Celtics, they have 2.5 fewer wins. The Sixers, they have 4.5 fewer wins with largely the same, like mainly the same roster. I think they're probably assuming Harden is gone, or at least doing what he does after he asks for a trade and doesn't get it, which is not play at the peak of his abilities. Makes sense to me. I think Nurse is a great replacement. I think that is a net benefit for the playoffs. But again, I think it's probably important to draw a distinction between, like, Doc Rivers is one of the great regular season coaches, and I don't think like a coaching change is a net benefit for them when it comes to win totals necessarily. Right. So I think this is probably, like, I don't have a strong feeling about either of these first two.
But 49.5, how do you think you can eclipse that?
Slight under.
Slight under. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then if James Harden is out.
I don't know. I mean, losing Harden, I mean, that's a 25-10 guy.
You're assuming he's out. He's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know of a precedent of a player demanding a trade and then showing up to play other than like Anthony Davis with the Pelicans. And even that was like this torture thing. Like, Harden has a precedent of demanding a trade and then either dogging it or not showing up to play.
Yeah.
So him showing up to training camp is probably not a great idea, right?
Yeah.
So if you take him out, they lost Niang, right?
Yeah, they did.
They lost a couple other guys. Haven't really, I think that they signed Patrick Beverley, I think. They have not replenished any of the depth they lost around Harden and Embiid.
Yeah.
And they were losing Harden. So now you're relying on Joel Embiid to hopefully, who has his own injury history, play at the same MVP level that he played at last year, and hope that Maxey picks up the slack for James Harden.
Mm.
That's a really, for me, I would be, that's a lot of ground to make up. To me, I think they're going to be way under, I think.
Way under last season or way under 49.5? Way under 49.5.
Way under 49, yeah.
Like, you think sub 500 season for them?
I don't think sub 500, no. But, I think it wouldn't shock me if it was like 43-45, to be honest. But then again, I'm also horrifically wrong on predictions in my career, so a good rule of thumb is to listen to what I'm saying and then do the exact opposite. So, generally speaking.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of the optimism on Harden, and not that there's a lot of optimism, but like any optimism that people seem to have on Harden coming back is like, yeah, but he went to that white party with them and like they were all hanging out and that seems cool. But going to parties is what James Harden does best.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know.
Being the Hamburglar.
A lot of these players, you know, there's the business side and then there's the personal side. It's not like the 80s anymore where, you know, Lambeer and Bird are coming to blows on the streets anymore, right? It's like, it's not, that's not the game anymore. These guys are cool with each other when they're not playing the game.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I mean, literally, I think there was like the meme yesterday of Kevin Durant and Draymond Green showing up with the same outfit, you know, at a game. And then immediately they're spotted together at the party. And then the reporting yesterday, literally James Harden reiterated his request for a trade.
Right.
It's like these guys are, it's a totally different world, you know?
Yeah. Have we heard anything about on the Dame front? Like, because I know the NBA like kind of pushed back and was like, hey, you can't just say you will only play for the Heat. Is there any?
Not since that, but also the NBA has no leg to stand on. There's nothing.
There's nothing they can do.
They could send sternly worded memos or whatever, but there's zero. The league can, I guess, maybe intervene if it's like they did with the Chris Paul trade with the Lakers, you know, but that would be a really stunning thing to do. And I don't think they have a leg to stand on here. Request a trade. They can do that.
In this case,
the Blazers were the ones who made the trade request public, not Dame. Dame's not violating any rules. So they're
I think everyone I'm quietly hoping like maybe we do Harden for Dame. Like, is that a possibility? But it doesn't feel like that.
Well, I mean, it looks more likely that like the Clippers seem like the team that would end up doing some business, right?
Yeah. But like they have the same colors, so I don't know. Maybe it could work out.
Like what would you even like to see from a deal with the Clippers? Covington, at least? You want to see him back?
Who? Harden going,
if there's like how do you make a meal out of that?
So I'm a little crazy. They have this one guy, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh,
who
Kawhi.
A lot of people Kawhi. a lot of people have given up on because of his injury history. But I am encouraged by the fact that he was the best player in the playoffs for a single game last year. So I don't know. I'm desperate. I would take anything, whatever you want to give me.
I'll take anything, man. Whoever. Pathetic. Like literally, man, please.
All right, so we've gone two unders. It feels like somebody's got to go over then, right?
Yeah. Well, the next team to look at, the New York Knickerbockers. Last year, 47-35. This year, they're setting them right around 44.5.
Yeah.
Wow. Obi Toppin out. They signed Dante DiVincenzo.
I mean, Vegas is under on basically everyone.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Knicks aren't getting more love. You assume that some of the young talent quickly gets better. You assume that Brunson and Randall match their production from last year. You assume you see some growth from like the Grimes of the world.
Right.
Dante's a solid signing for them. I don't see any reason they take a step backwards. I don't think they leap to the top of the East or anything like that, but you know, I don't see any reason they go backwards either.
Yeah. I think 44, I feel like they're going to be in line with what they did last year. At least seems like energetically, doesn't feel like there's a regression on the cards. Right. But again, I'm like a very casual Knicks fan, and I always will root for them passively. So I'm like, no, come on,
that
you guys can do that.
That you have.
Yeah, yeah, it's because of the Wu-Tang jersey. It's because of the North Face jackets and Timberland boots, obviously. New Jersey, though, formerly New Jersey, now Brooklyn, the Nets. Last year, 45-37. They're projected now 37.5. They re-signed Cam Johnson. They got Lonnie Walker, the fourth quarter god, and Dennis Smith Jr. As free agents. But again, I feel like they could do just about as well as last year. I don't think they'd fall off too hard. But again, this is me with my rosy tinted glasses on.
I mean, they had that one guy, Kevin Durant, for a lot of last season, and he's pretty good. So
that's a guy in the bucket hat from the other night. Yes. Yes.
What was their record after he left? That would be the key thing for me to know, because I think that I could see them having a small improvement over their like win percentage after Durant left. I don't see it being significant. So I don't see them coming close to last year's win total necessarily. But the over under also doesn't have them coming close to like they have. They're picking 37.5. Last year they won 45. So I could see them like right at like 38.
They were just under 500 without KD. Jabari's telling us.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Any excitement for you when you think about the Nets, Sopan?
No.
Yeah.
Look, Mikal Bridges had a great, you know, showed out when he got to the Nets. I just think that there just isn't much else there. I like Claxton, you know, they have some young talent there, but I think that they need, you know, they'll be buyers at the deadline. I could see them getting in the race of another star. They have the pieces to go get another star. For whatever reason, Cam Thomas can't seem to get like a permanent role in the rotation. But, you know, but if this is the roster throughout most of the season, I mean, I don't even know if they make the playoffs. And I like Mikal Bridges, you know, and I think he's a, but I don't know how much of a number one guy is at this point. But I just don't see them, you know, making any sort of splash. 37 wins seems about right to me.
Yeah. I like this next one. Because
by the
I
way,
think,
your description of why you're not excited for them about them just got me excited about them. So I'm actually I'm on the for the is, Nets over.
Like, the Nets are a very likable team.
Yeah. You know,
they're the exact kind of team that, you know, fun. They're going to be fun to watch. You know, Mikal Bridges is a really, really likable, you know, fun guy to watch play. You know, Cam Thomas on any given night can like drop 50, you know, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That kind of microwave player. I just don't know if it's sustainable over 82 games is a long season. It's a long time, you know, to, you know, and then once other teams scout you out, et cetera, you know, I just think it's hard to sustain over a full season.
Bridges, like when he arrived and was suddenly just like absolutely filling it up, it reminded me of when Harden left OKC and went to Houston, and suddenly it was like, oh, whoops, we missed this one. I don't necessarily think he's gonna like suddenly be top five offensive player in the league, but it feels like there's still room for him to keep going up. So it'll be interesting to see.
The only thing I'll say is he's turning 27 this month.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't know how much more there is.
Yeah, maybe he should just retire at that point.
Yeah, I think he should hang it up. That's right. I think we've seen the best of the coverage.
Yeah.
And I just want to, like, this next is our last one. Heading to Toronto. Last year,
Toronto.
Perfectly even down in Toronto, 41-41. They're projected to do 36.5. Now, I really take umbrage with this because Grady Dick is on this team.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the over. And they're going to go way over.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking. Because
you don't see them losing a single game, you said, before we started recording.
Yeah. I said 82-0, baby.
See the
we
neck
already
on
know.
That guy?
You seen the neck on this kid? They're not losing a single game.
Court vision alone.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, 36.5 probably seems around there. But I really just, for my own, like, memeability of the league, I want to see Grady Dick potentially turn into something, not just be the kid with the long neck and shiny suit.
Yeah. Pirtle, I guess. I hadn't realized Super Producer Jabari was saying that Pirtle is a big, you know, advanced stats guy. People who pay attention to advanced stats really love him. So that was news to me. I'm sure all our listeners already knew that.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
And they got, well, you know, Dennis Schroeder.
I was going to say, I mean, they lost Van Vliet.
Yep.
Siakam is heavily involved in trade rumors.
Yep.
And Toronto is right in that space where they need to make a decision of whether they want to be contenders or if they want to blow it up.
Yeah.
They have some pieces where they could push the chips in for a star if the one becomes available. But if one doesn't, what's that team going to do? And do you hold on to Siakam if that's the case? And I don't know that I would be very surprised if Pascal Siakam is a Raptor by March. I just don't know if that makes sense.
It sounds like the sounds coming out of there sounds like he's getting moved on.
Yeah.
But where to, we shall see. Okay. Before we take a quick break, we should just get a couple of our bold predictions in before we we wrap this thing up in our third act. So, you know, right before the season starts, Sopan, we'd like to ask our guests just to get some just wild, bold predictions, just something really heavy. And I'm just, for example, you know, right now, Scoot Henderson, he just not only wants to go down as like the greatest point guard to ever play, he wants to get into the GOAT conversation. So we're like, oh, okay, that's a bold amount of confidence from you, sir. That we like that here on this show. But for you, what is your absolute boldest prediction? Like, don't get into facts. Just articulate bold. Something from the heavens for the upcoming NBA season. Go bold.
Oh man. Do you guys have one already?
This is for our guests.
This is for our guests.
We don't. This is for our guests. We don't indulge when we're hosting. No.
All right, I'll tell you my bold prediction for this season is that Wembanyama wins Defensive Player of the Year. That's my big bold bad prediction.
I was actually interesting. I was going to go the opposite.
Think this guy stinks.
No, I think that I think I'm not saying he's going to have a horrible season or anything.
Yeah,
but the guy is young.
Mm-hmm.
My bold prediction is that Wembanyama is not Rookie of the Year.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he's not going to fill up to the hype or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just saying
he will fail to achieve.
His body is, is still developing. Mm-hmm. He's still a teenager. Only kind of, LeBron James is the only player of the last 30 years or whatever that has come in and met that level of hype from the moment he entered the league. And even then, it's not like LeBron's rookie year was without struggles.
Right.
Right. And so like Wembanyama, who, obviously an amazing talent, all this stuff. And, I'm not taking anything away from him. It just might take him a little while to get acclimated to the current NBA and the way it moves. And plus you're playing 82 games, the schedule, the physical grind, the emotional grind, it just might take a little while. He might not be ready to be, crowned right away.
He's not playing 82 games. I'll let you know.
No, definitely. Not with that big toe. To that end,
for the Spurs and Pop's gonna,
Which rookies do you feel like have the best chance at Rookie of the Year?
Oh, I love Scoot's game, man. I really, I really like Scoot's game. I just think that it's really, really hard. Because NBA draft picks are getting so much kind of like they're so much more polished entering the league in some ways because they're, they're starting to play much earlier and whatever. But like, the Thompson twins are really interesting to me. But Scoot's the guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just buying into the hype a lot, from what I've been able to watch, see him play and whatnot. Scoot seems like the guy that's very NBA ready. I don't mean he's going to like fill Dame's shoes right away or anything, but it would not surprise me if he had a really surprisingly good rookie year or anything.
Yeah.
Agreed.
My bold prediction, the twins win co-rookie of the year. Just like when Grant Hill and Jason Kidd had to split it. Okay. There we go.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah,
or they accidentally award it to the wrong twin by accident.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be absolutely
real goof them up. So like one of them can't make it, and so the other one fills in, and then they do like
Oscars a Oscars moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Mrs. Doubtfire situation.
Hello. And like last bold prediction, Sopan, which offseason moves will actually have the greatest impact in your opinion?
Interesting question, because there haven't been many big ones.
Yeah.
Easily. So to me, it's actually not that hard of a question. To me, it's the Porzingis smart one for both sides, because in Memphis, Marcus Smart needs to play a big role with Ja out for the first quarter plus of a season.
Yeah.
Right. That means he's got to play a larger offensive role. And Marcus is amazing. Like, was so much fun to watch, but when Marcus kind of ran into trouble is when he would have to do too much as an offensive player.
Yeah.
It wasn't just And so that could be, so that could be an issue for Memphis going forward. And for this, Porzingis, it's a huge change to the way the Celtics are going to be on both ends of the floor. Porzingis gives them a rim protector that they haven't really had as much of the last couple of years. But to me, that's easily the most impactful move of the season until Dame gets traded or until Harden gets traded.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't even know what the other contenders are for impactful offseason.
Well, Beal going to the Suns is pretty.
Oh, yeah. That's probably. Yeah, I guess I should probably. But like, that was almost.
No, you already locked in your answer.
Yeah, I'll defend it by saying that the Suns were already already kind of had a super team go.
You're essentially
replacing Chris Paul with
Bradley Beal.
Right.
I don't see Chris Paul going to the Warriors as that big of a deal.
Yeah.
If he's coming off the bench or whatever, like if he's, you know, I don't know how big of a role he's going to have there. I just don't see that being as impactful. Like the Celtics flipped their roster makeup to make the Porzingis deal happen. So I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back with the fastest question and answer segment in sports podcasting history right after this.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back.
Yeah, we are.
Woo-wee.
That's your bottom dollar. We are
so so good to have you.
Wow, wow.
But you have wandered into the fourth quarter of Mad Boosties, which means it's time for the rapid fire segment. Okay, the fastest question answer segment in all of sports podcasting history. We're gonna ask you a question. You just chest pass it right back. Don't even think. Don't add a bunch of fancy stuff to the answer. Just boom, okay. Right back. Okay. But if Jack or I start yammering on and extending, you have to cut us off and keep the segment going. It's actually your responsibility as the guest to also keep the segment going in the event that the hosts themselves are unable to do their duties.
Fair enough.
Okay.
You just chased a butterfly into the shootout of the OK Corral. Let me just put it that way.
Oh, I thought that was about to be the first question.
Okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. Wow.
Sorry, to give you an idea of like where,
wow, okay.
Who
where
you're running
you
towards.
Are right now.
Yeah.
Doc?
Yeah.
Which Earth brother are you going after? Okay. all right, here we go. I think we're ready to... Brian, start the clock!
Oh my gosh. It's so mean.
Yeah, well, Jack, it's...
He's gotta know. Sometimes he's really slow with starting the clock.
Jack, I'm like this because I care, man. Because I want all of us to win. All right,
Miles just slapped the court.
Yeah.
Antoine Walker style. And I got blown by.
Just spilled my whiskey and cigar all over the floor. Do you want to go first or shall I go first?
Oh, why don't you go first, Miles, okay. My good man?
I will go first. Thank you, Jack. Jackathon. Yes. So, Pan, first question. ESPN recently decided to rework their entire NBA crew with Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Mama, there goes that man off of our screens. You know, let going after covering, you know, 15 NBA finals alongside Mike Breen. Who is now your dream in-game commentary team? You can now put that team together. Who are they?
And you can't say Miles and I because, yeah, that would you be, know, that's contractually.
And the league has already said no.
That might be in the works, or the league might have said, no, stop asking us.
And, didn't we get a cease and desist for asking?
Yeah, that is actually why you can't bring it up.
Yeah. Sorry. But, anyway, but for you, SoFan, who is your dream commentary team?
Dream commentary team. This is for the NBA Finals. This is the top, and this is the top NBA crew. Just to be clear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, the highest of the high, and just it doesn't have to be realistic, but use your taste to put together a fantastic crew of commentators.
Sure. Roy Wood Jr., the Daily Show comedian.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Former guest on this
former
very
guest,
show.
Former guest. Former guest.
Like someone that's like the total kind of totally opposite of him, like Bill Burr or someone like that.
Dennis Miller, babe.
Yeah. You know, oh, someone no. Someone that Roy would hate.
Right. Yeah.
Like a comedian, yeah. Like, you know, like someone that he would absolutely just despise. And they just.
One of the Paul brothers.
Yeah.
Just getting rinsed by Roy Wood Jr.
Just for the like passive
someone,
aggressive barbs back
who
and
just
forth.
Just to see the angriest broadcast, angriest but most hilarious broadcast.
Oh, right.
Roy Wood Jr. absolutely needs a shot in the booth.
Yeah.
Have we said Jesus and Mara would be a good answer there? I want to see. Jesus
oh yeah,
they reunite
yeah,
in the booth.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a team no one is considering for title contention this year, but should be in the conversation.
Should be in the conversation.
Yeah.
I guess I would go with. Clippers? Yeah, I'll go Clippers. Mm. Sure.
Clippers.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I'm not thinking too hard about this. So I'll go.
No. That's it. Yeah.
I no, like but what is it about the Clippers? Go on.
Well, I'm assuming here's the thing. I'm assuming they get Harden because mm-hmm. this is how this always happens. Harden wants to go to the Clippers.
Guy's killing right. me.
The Clippers have no incentive to put together a great package because this is the only team Harden wants to go to. So no other team mm-hmm. will trade.
Mm.
So they won't have to give up that much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably going to be like Marcus Morris and like Steve Ballmer's driver or something, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, his yeah. driver's sick though. The Sixers yeah. are going to really make good yeah. use of that driver. Yeah.
We got to trust the process there.
And while we're at it, we might as well give him Embiid. You know yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just
and so
they're going to be awesome.
Yeah.
but you gave me someone that's probably not going to be considered in title contention. Who probably should be, and I think it'll be the Clippers. That's
okay.
That's off the top of my head. I'm sure if I thought harder, I could.
Yeah, and I'm going to cut you off right there, SoFan, because we do have to keep the segment going. It has nothing to do with my allegiances to the Lakers.
Like I recognize the injury is troubling. Injury history is troubling. He was still so good when he was playing last year.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one.
Oh yeah. SoFan, it's your turn.
Best NBA city in terms of food choices, and what's your go-to dish? And what's your go-to dish?
New Orleans, best mm-hmm. NBA city for food. And my go-to dish is there's a restaurant called Pesh, which is like an amazing New Orleans restaurant.
Okay.
You know, there's like, they have everything there, but when we go, we usually get this like whole fish there that they have. And it's amazing.
Ooh.
And so I'm going Pesh in New Orleans. Amazing. New Orleans is the best food city. And I think in for NBA cities. Easily.
Pesh, please have us there for a live episode or just a meal.
We're willing to hear yes. offers. Pesh.
You can find them at 800 Magazine Street, New Orleans.
Wait, okay. I got to cut you off. Right. So you got to.
I do just have to add. I do just have to add. Brandon Ingram looks like a totally different person. Like he looks like he's been eating well in New Orleans. And I don't mean that like eating well, like, you know, he looks like he filled out. Like I was always like, he's not going to fill out. That's his body. Like, and he's good. He in the USA basketball things, I was like, who is that out there that looking like a slightly shorter?
It's those muffalettas. He's just pounding the muffalettas down there.
No, but he looks good. All right. If you could have any player skill set for a day, mm-hmm. who are you going with? What skill set are you stealing?
Jokic, easily. Oh my gosh. Listen, to me, all right, I guess I'm not supposed to give extended answers, but he's the only players that I would catch every game. I went out during the season. There's something about him that. I just find his game to be very magnetic. And to see a guy of that size passing the Wade, I love big guys that can pass. I really do. Yeah. And that's my favorite. You know, those are my favorite. That's why I got an Antoine Walker in my, you know, as a child, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's Jokic. Just I love big guys that can pass.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have only taken his passing skills. You haven't taken his height. So, it's a monkey's paw type wish. Sorry about that, man.
Fair enough.
But you can still shoot that shot over AD somehow. You'll still be able to pull that thing off. Yeah, on that right
falling
foot.
Away off one foot.
That's really the skills, just to completely frustrate people at every pickup game at LA Fitness across the country.
Has there ever been a higher release in the history? Like, he releases so high and he's also 7 foot. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a tall.
No, so, I mean, I just saw Klay Thompson talking about that shot. He's like, golly. That was like sort of his
energy.
He's like, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah, because it was. Okay, here we go. Sopan, ultimate peak, prime Bird or prime KD? Ooh, you lean back on that one. You're thinking, I like this.
I've never thought about that. I would say prime Bird because he won the 3 MVPs in a row and no one's done that since. And I also think that Bird, you know, he was a better rebounder and passer, but again, the game was so different back then. But I think I'll go with Bird because he did, you know, he did something that no one has done since then.
Right.
And that's it's a very arbitrary thing. Like, I think Jokic should have won 3 straight. I think, you know, LeBron should obviously have won 3 straight, or if not more than that, at some point in his career, Jordan, whatever. But given that Bird did it, I mean, to me, it's Bird.
Yeah. All right.
But that's like, you know, that almost feels unfair to KD, but like, you know, the platitudes are what the platitudes are what they are, you know?
Yeah. All right. You can place any former Celtics great on next year's roster. Which former great are you adding to this mix? And you do have to make the salaries work. So I think Bird
salaries work.
Yeah, I think Bird made like 40K a year. You got to make sure that
don't want to slip into the luxury tax.
If we're doing it by salary,
he got a case of beer too if they won the title. So
I guess it would be Russell, man. I mean, how do you, I mean, it's an easy, I mean, it's almost like an unfair question to ask a Celtics fan because there's such like easy hierarchy to choose from. But yeah, I guess, you know, you're adding Bill Russell because he literally fits a need for the Celtics right now. They need a defensive anchor since they lost Marcus Smart. Like, they needed, so like, of course you're going to add Bill
that
Russell.
That alpha. Yeah. Yeah. Also got that personality. Yeah,
then you bring in Al Horford off the bench, I guess.
Yeah.
if he's willing to let his ego subside for one.
Yeah. That it is funny. I feel like there's every time we've asked this question to a Celtics fan, it's like, I don't think anyone has not said Bill Russell, right? Or I feel like that's been pretty good. I mean, why
wouldn't it be? You kind of have to.
Yeah. Exactly. And finally, Sopan, this is actually the most important question I think we've asked of the day.
A lot of money riding on this one.
Yeah. So please be quick with your response to this one. Sopan Deb, Jack or Miles?
Ooh, I have to give it to Jack because of his dad, man. His dad was a big part of my childhood.
I will take it.
Miles,
his dad was a big part of his childhood too.
Miles, if your dad coached the 2002 Celtics, I would have gone with you like really easy.
He wouldn't even be close to doing that. But so, and that, and I can only respect that answer, Sopan. I can only respect that answer, man. It is hard to hear.
I mean, everything worked out in this episode. We surprised him with it. I knew he was a big 2002 Celtics fan, but I didn't let it slip before we recorded so we could just like build momentum. Everything worked perfectly.
I saw you.
You fell right into my clutches.
The second he
said
Twan, the second he mentioned Twan, I was like, this guy's rubbing his mitts now. He's rubbing his mitts.
Yeah.
The second Twan comes up
for me and my family.
well, Jack, you can pass on to your dad. And I hope you do that. I was a big fan of him growing up. So,
all right.
I hope you'll pass that on to him.
Fantastic.
So he's actually not my dad, but I did. You can't take it back. That was all a lie. You fell for it.
His dad owns like a bunch of Subway franchises in Montauk.
Oh, I'm a fan of Subway. Wow, amazing.
No,
my favorite sandwich shop
in Montauk. No way, my favorite place for Subway.
Man.
Well, Sopan Deb, thank you so much.
Nepotism wins again, baby.
Yeah, for real. So Pandev, thank you so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Where can people catch your work and all that and read you and all any sort, connect to you? How do they do that?
I'm easy to find on social media, man. And I've got my books are easy to find, but I appreciate the opportunity to plug. But you know, it's just Google. I had to be like Shaq here, but like just Google.
Hey, yeah. Okay. I like that. Just one name, baby. That's all you need to know. And it'll and it will appear.
It's just really nice to finally see nepotism winning for like if you're an NBA nepotism who stinks at basketball, like it doesn't help that much. So it's just nice to see you know, a place where nepotism can finally win.
And that place is Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. You know that. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Miles of Gray and Jack, where can they find you?
What? At NBA Nepo Baby on Twitter. At Jack _ O'Brien on Twitter.
NBA Nepo Boy.
I gotta see if that's available.
Yeah, you should. You should. Or at least your display name. And you can also follow the show on hashtag Mad Boosties, BOOSTIES, for show links and updates. That's gonna do it for us. We're gonna be back because you know that's what we do. We're always back, we're always there for you. And until then, we'll be us, the UBU, okay?
Ooh, bye. I like that little sign off. Bye.
You know, that's the way to go.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.